Joining me on the October edition of Our Town, Public Works Director Mike Miller. Mike, been a while. How you been?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, that's good to know. Good to know. I want to talk to you about like winter storms and preparedness and all that stuff, but I kind of want to get a sense. How has the COVID thing been working with your department there? Have you had enough people? Have you been able to get by?
You know, that's a great question, and I appreciate it because, you know, when COVID first hit, you know, a year and a half ago now, right? Mm-hmm. It was challenging because we did amazing things. You know, we divided up our crews and, you know, because we do 7 days a week operations, especially with the water and wastewater treatment plants. And so we had, you know, group one, group two. So we had coverage and everything. Guys rallied. We did not miss anything. We may have had a couple of close, you know, scares, but this last wave, oh my, yes. We were, you know, August and September was really difficult for public works.
Well, I imagine like, it had like the month of July to germinate after, you know, the masks came off and then all of a sudden, boom, spike through the roof.
Having conversations with others in the industry and, you know, and friends and relatives and, you know, not really hearing close to home impacts. And then, you know, like I said, August, and it's just like, my goodness, you know, at one point, I think I had a third or more of our employees out because of either a family member or themselves coming down with COVID.
And now the scary time is we're coming into flu season. So it's going to be like, is it flu or, you know, is it COVID?
Yeah. And what I've been stressing to my employees has always been, you know, if you're sick, and it doesn't matter whether it's COVID or 2 years ago, if you're sick, stay home. I mean, that's the best prevention for the crew is if you're sick, just stay home.
Yeah, for the spread of it.
For spread, because, you know, it just spreads. So that's kind of going to be our take is, you know, you got flu-like symptoms, you know, just stay home, hopefully get better really quick. And if not, there's, you know, we can always do rapid testing and, you know, make sure that it's, you know, not COVID. And if it's just flu, then we can deal with that too.
Problem with things like COVID is it doesn't stop for, you know, operations.
No,
you know, operations have to continue on. And we're getting into that part of the year where storms will pop up. Things will happen. We'll get some rainfall in there and everything. Have you been tracking the year-to-year data as far as are we getting as much as we've always gotten? Or have you been looking at that at all? Or are you just depending on others to kind of tell you?
No, so we do. We track, you know, weather. We watch weather really close, especially now that we're into October. And so, you know, but we do go back and we look at, you know, weather trends and historical. You know, right now, we're in that drought, even though we're on the coast. Rainfall, I believe, through the end of September was about 40 inches. Should be a little higher. September actually was a great month as far as, I mean, it came at the very end, but, you know, we had, I believe, at least at my house, I haven't checked what the official weather station is for Florence, which is, for us, is at the wastewater treatment plant. But it was over 4 inches of rainfall. And typically, you know, on average, it's a little over 2 inches for September. So we picked up. But June, July, and August, extremely dry for Florence.
And then I guess LaRapa was saying that the first couple of weeks in October are going to be drier than normal, although we may, you know, may have some rain coming in.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of ebbs and flows a little bit. Typically in October, about the middle of October is when we start really getting into the rainy season and the rainfall will start picking up. And of course, you know, with the rains that we had in September, you know, that kind of that first flush, because it was a significant rain event that weekend, I believe it was almost 2 inches of rainfall. And so couple that with some wind and what we get is the needles off the trees. So whether it's the shore pines or your fir trees, the needles come in, they gather, they get into the gutter line. And when we get the rain, it all washes down. And when we have standard catch basin, so standard catch basin is the storm inlet that's actually at the gutter line in the street, they get plugged up. And that's when you have localized flooding events, you know, water in the roadways.
Where are some of the worst areas? Are there some areas in town worse than others when it comes to that?
Yeah. So I think, you know, this last rain event, we saw some localized flooding on 35th down by Rolling Dunes Park. It's just a big area, big catchment area. And it just
It's almost because like two hills kind of.
Two hills coming together, yeah. And it just, you know, it's a perfect opportunity for a clogged storm drain. And it's just the storm grate. I mean, that's where the needles piled up, wouldn't allow water to infiltrate. It did infiltrate, but really, really slow. And so you had water, you know, over across the yellow line in that, I guess it would be the eastbound lane. Other areas in town, you know, some of the older sections of the town, you know, kind of west of 101, 6th Street area, those type of areas, we'll see some flooding because of either needles or leaves. Leaves, when they start dropping in October, end of October, those will also, you know, acquire attention. And the great thing is, you know, the city does have street sweeper, and we're out. And this is our busy time of year, because usually we're out, you know, maybe once or twice a week sweeping the streets. But when we get into the fall and the leaves are dropping, we're out every day with that street sweeper.
And so I'm guessing that it's probably something better left to the Public Works Department. People, you don't encourage people to go out to their sewer drain outside in the street and clear that off? Or do you want to call?
So I mean, you know, we do encourage folks, if they see, you know, ponding, to go out there and take a little shovel and scoop the needles off and open up the drain. If it doesn't actually drain, then, you know, give us a call and we'll be out. Or give us a call, you know, anyway. But you have to understand, majority of my crew is Monday through Friday.
Right.
I do have skeleton crew on Saturday and Sunday, and it's, you know, a water plant operator at the water treatment plant, a wastewater treatment plant operator at the wastewater treatment plant. And because of COVID, I do have a staff person on the weekends doing in our parks. And so I do have availability, you know, like 7 to 3:30 to get somebody to go and address something. But it's usually pulling them off of another project. But it's great having them there, because then, you know, I'm not bringing others out, you know, after hours, overtime.
Well, obviously Public Works has one responsibility there, and you guys take care of that stuff. What about the residential or business owner? What should they be doing to prepare for winter storms?
For, you know, the majority of us, you know, just making sure that our, let's talk about residential homes first. So now's a great time to go out and make sure your gutters are clean. Actually, at my house, I'm cleaning my gutters like four times a year, just because of where I live. And unfortunately, your typical residential gutter systems aren't the oversized downspouts, so they tend to clog really easily. There's a lot of things out on the market, you know, the leaf guards and leaf filters and those type of things. They're expensive. Are they worth it? Yeah, maybe not to climb up on your roof, or, you know, get up on a ladder and clean the gutters.
They're worth it if you're not mechanically inclined to do
there
it yourself.
You go. Absolutely. Yeah. But biggest thing is to, you know, keep your gutters clear so that you don't have them overflowing, which can cause damage to your home, whether it's your foundation or to your siding. So that's one big thing. The other thing is just, you know, kind of the general cleanup. And then the other thing is, we're getting into fall and then winter, is also be stocking up on supplies. So having your 3 days worth of emergency supplies, whether that's, you know, food and water, you know, toiletries, prescriptions, those type of things, because we know we're very fortunate here in Florence. Power grid is very stable, but we do get a windstorm, and we get a lot of windstorms. But being here on the coast, the trees are pretty adaptive. They're used to
getting blown around.
Exactly. But we do have trees come down, and sometimes we do lose power. It's probably rare, just because the way Florence is fed with the power grid. But just being prepared for that, you know, that there could be a time that we're without power for an extended period. We're not just talking in 1 or 2 hours. We're talking 12 hours a day or multiple days, just depending on the severity of the storm, whether it's a – and this is going to be an interesting year. You know, everybody's really paying notice to climate and climate change. Weather has been a little strange. We haven't. We've gotten more ice than snow. Usually you'll see a lot of the ice storms in the valley. We're very fortunate here, but we're not immune. We have had those late March snowstorms, and we've had, you know, the traditional, you know, January or even a December storm.
Do the excessive rains affect the wastewater treatment plant and that? Or is there anything you have to do differently when there's more rain? Because I know you have to keep like certain chemical limits there.
Yeah. So actually, you know, so one of the great discussion points that we have with Oregon Department of Environmental Quality is the wastewater system and how it's not impacted by storms. So our wastewater treatment plant is designed to spike at 6.9 million gallons a day, you know, in an hourly fashion. Average day is still six on a wet weather flow. In a true wet weather event here in Florence, we may get up to 2 million.
So you got a lot of
capacity.
Protection there.
Yeah, so we don't have a lot of, so what that means is that we don't have a lot of INI, so inflow and infiltration, so water getting into the pipe system. And then because, you know, I mean, manhole lids, you know, they do have holes in them, and water can get in that way, but not to the degree that people anticipate or think. It's a very tight system, and we're very fortunate in that because our flows are, you know, again, very stable. Typical average day flow is about 800,000 gallons a day. And then in those extremely, extremely wet circumstances, you know, we may go up to getting close to that 2 million, but yeah.
Nowhere near the six.
Nowhere. Yeah, nowhere.
What are some of the concerns that Public Works has to deal with during winter storms, other than obviously rising water?
So so it's tree removal, debris. So wind events, usually when we have rain events, we have a wind event. And so it's really dealing with the aftermath of downed trees. Sometimes we can't get to a situation as quickly as people would like because, one, we have a small group, but two, if there's power lines or any type of overhead lines involved, we need to wait until it's clear because we don't know for sure if it's going to be, you know, power, telecommunications, you know, cable. So we do have to wait until we get the clearance and then go in and do the removal.
So does Public Works within the city limits do removal for Central Lincoln PUD, or does Central Lincoln PUD do their own?
So Central Lincoln PUD does their own. So they have a very active tree program where they go out and they prune the trees and they trim and everything. But during a storm event, you may have a tree next door that's, you know, I mean, Rhododendron Drive is a great example. Yeah. There's a lot of trees on the west side of Rhododendron Drive. Power lines are typically on the east, and those tall trees, in the right circumstance, they could come down and hang up into the power lines. And that's happened, you know, once or twice in the last 14 years. Typically down by green trees, to be honest. And so you have to wait for a power company to come in, clear it, and then they'll clear what they need to clear and either get the power restored or at least let us know that it's been de-energized, and then we come in and we clean up the rest.
Is that pretty much the major concerns then is just, you know, water and trees?
Water and trees for us, yeah, absolutely.
Any other thing that you can share with us to give us a good tip for this winter season?
Well, so when you do see standing water, please do not drive through it because you never know. It could just be a clogged catch basin. It could be something far worse.
Like a sinkhole?
Like a sinkhole, like a water main failure, something that's boiling, especially if it's boiling. We don't have that. We've been very fortunate in that regard in this community, but we've seen it in other communities. We've seen it where sinkholes have developed and it's swallowed up a fire truck or a combination sewer cleaner.
Yeah, just because you've been over that road a dozen or a million times doesn't mean that time when it's full with water, that's the road still beneath it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah absolutely. And there's a lot of, you know, videos out there. I mean, I think the classic one that I've seen is, you know, a clogged culvert underneath a roadway. And you know, it's a major drainage area, and it's a major flood event, of course. And the dynamics and the power of that storm starting to go through that pipe, and then all of a sudden the roadway goes. And that culvert is up in the air, and it's very, very noticeable. Very, very.
Growing up in southern Arizona and monsoons, I saw many a car stuck underneath a freeway bridge that was all you could see was the top of the car in there. Yeah. So I certainly know, and I'm sure people have seen those videos too.
Oh yeah. Well, and even, you know, coming from Central Oregon, there's like two locations in Bend, specifically. One is on 97, old 97, which would be Business Third. going underneath the railroad tracks, and that would flood, and there'd be somebody that thinks that they could cross through it, and mm-hmm. sure enough, it'd float the car, and yeah, they'd be stuck.
Oh, we get people stuck in Cushman from time
Absolutely.
To time.
Absolutely.
So that's a good point to make there.
So. There you go.
Mike Moore, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And it's always good to talk to you and find out what's going on.
You bet. Thank you.
Coming up next, Rachel Pearson and Kirk Malenik about the Winter Music Festival. It's back on.